What is TWS podcast episode, whatever, who cares at this point?
The rants of the vindicated.
It's my podcast and I do what I want to.
People, listen.
Word, is it still alive?
It's not working for me, Rich. We're going to keep going.
I know I changed my voice at work.
Bars on the radio.
What is TWS podcast?
I'm ready.
I feel like Neanderthal.
Staring at my watch and I'm feeling so new school.
Suicide attempts, how many tries to take?
They ain't ready. All right, I got some words. All right. Now, I ain't saying I'm the greatest rapper. I'm more like a washed-up, never-made-it rapper. But compared to these latest rappers, I'm my favorite rapper. The last of the true lyricists. I hid behind the bars, but you can't mask my spirit's grip. Can't knock my hustle, though it never matched my appearances. I was suit and tie in the booth with a background for clearances. So why should I back down when these rap clowns can't mirror this? God-like flow, I stack nouns like pyramids. Oh, man.
Bars.
There we go. Yeah, that's enough. That's enough. Bro. That's enough. Bro. I'm getting over.
They ain't ready. Cut it out. We got a show to do anyway.
Yes. Welcome back to another episode of What is TWS Podcast. I think we
54.
We're getting up there. This is a very special episode. I've been wanting to have this guest on the show for a minute, and we got him. So today, not only do you have myself, J-Dot Flan, and my brother Rich Nerd.
Rich Nerd.
Well, we got the big homie Ness in the building. And very excited to have him on the show. I'm going to be full disclosure. I used to work with Ness, and by used to work with, I mean he was my boss's boss. I think because you was like, you were Bashir's boss.
Right.
So he was.
I think at one point he was my boss's boss's boss because he was like, it was Shrikant.
Then basically, it was Ness, who was the top level of our company, and then everybody else fell in line. Right. So it was Ness.
I was way down there is what I'm trying to
y'all
say.
Y'all don't matter. It was and a then couple it left. Was like us.
Wow. Yeah.
So. You know, it's levels to this thing, and I was several levels below. But yeah, we're glad to have him on the show. Welcome, sir.
Well, thank you guys for having me. I feel honored and blessed to watch you guys and certainly be a part of the show and looking forward to some great, great dialogue and a lot of fruit. So appreciate definitely. You guys.
Definitely. All right. So I don't know. We're going to try to go through the show as usual. We're moving the shout outs to the beginning. I want to make sure my people get heard because I know y'all play the episode for like a minute and then move on to something else. So in that first minute, we're gonna shout out our people. So as usual, ttcharities.org. Please visit the site. He always got, good programs going. I know right now he's doing a suit drive. If you're in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area, please check out ttcharities.org. See if you can donate, some used suits that you're not using. Again, as always, it's money, time, clothes, food, books, toys, whatever it is
they
need.
You ain't got nothing to at least give a retweet, shout them out, at least spread the word. Anything you can do, do that. We need to make this cause known.
Yeah, let's take care of our own. Let's be our brother's keeper. The situation in Flint is still ongoing, and I know Tavares has a lot of programs to help those people out there. So anything you can do, ttcharities.org, check them out. Excuse me. Rena's Cakeys, another friend of the show. Like I said, last episode, she did the birthday cake for my daughter and myself.
Yeah, definitely.
Really, really dope Elmo and Abby cake. Because Elmo rules everything in this house right now.
Wow. I actually had a few of her pies, too. And the pies were pretty good. Man, we went to a barbecue at their place. And her pies were pretty good. I had the cakeys. The cakeys were awesome.
Yeah.
If you don't know what those are, cakeys are cake-like cookies. They have the texture of like a cake, but the shape and size of a cookie. You can pick your own special flavored icing, but they're pretty good.
Yeah, I think what the icings are like almond, coffee, lemon, lime.
I think it was a strawberry or something like that.
Go to the website.
Yeah, it was
Rena's Cakeys. Rinas Cakeys. Should I have to spell cakeys? I don't think I should have to spell cakeys.
All right, so this next one, one of my cousins, she just started her own blog, so I'm pretty proud of her. It's called What's the Issue Blog. My cousin Janae just started this. So basically, she started a new blog trying to increase communications and awareness and tackling the issues that are, plaguing not just persons of color, but all walks of life in our communities as a whole. And she's 20 years old, so it's pretty much written from the view of the millennial or millennial point of view. So far, I've read her beginning pieces, and it's been a good read. So I'm looking forward to big things on the horizon. It's called the What Is Issue blog, what's the issue web.wordpress.com. So check it out. We'll put all of these links on the website as well.
And then last but not least, celebrityhaircorp.com. Another friend of the show. Let me see. I'm going to do the full spiel for this one. Ladies, enhance your own natural beauty with Celebrity Hair Corp human hair extensions. And let us make you look like the star that you are. Pay no tax and free express shipping on all orders. So get your bundles. No tax, free shipping. Can't beat that. CelebrityHairCorp.com.
Right, and as always, we want to give a shout out. Thank you to TWS Multimedia for having us. They actually do have some new stuff up on their website. If you go to whatistws.com/goods, a lot of new merchandise in the store, some new t-shirt designs, multiple colorways.
Hooked Caesar up. I gave his definitely hooked Ness up with some fresh TWS gear.
I feel official. I'm not going to lie. This is awesome. So, yeah, can't wait to get my gear to the crib and get my rock on.
Yes, I'm gonna be promoting some new designs coming up here because I finally got the samples in and they looked as dope as I thought they would, so they're ready for the people.
All right, so without further ado, we're gonna go ahead and kick this show off.
Yes, sir.
You know how we always do. Before we do anything, before we start telling stories, before we start, you know, getting all emotional up here with you guys, we gotta get the evil out.
Gotta get the evil out. So I got like two things that happened to me this week that I'm upset about. So one, last week I went to Target, and you know, I shop a lot at Target. I do a lot of shopping at Target. I spend a lot of money at Target. I shop at Target so often that the chip on my red card is broken. They had to punch the numbers in because I put it in the machine too many times.
Red card, right.
So I'm in Target, and I don't even know what I'm going in there to buy. So I don't get a cart. I don't get whatever the little basket. I don't get nothing. I'm just in there. I got my backpack on. I'm looking around. And I start seeing stuff. So I pick up this thing, I pick up that thing. Next thing I know, like, my arms are full, and I'm, like, tucking things under my arm. So that's a red flag. I know it's a red flag. So, you know, I started to notice I'm being followed. You know, every time I go down the aisle and I turn to the left, I see the same face. Oh. He sees me. And, Rich, you know I'm petty. I'm petty. So if you following me, I'm going to follow you now. I'm going to make you uncomfortable. Every time I see you, I'm going to walk directly towards you. And now you're going to have to make the choice whether to approach me and let's have the conversation or to walk away. Then I saw an opportunity to be even more petty. Someone had left a basket like in the middle of one of the aisles. So I saw the guy watching me. I walked into the aisle. And I had my backpack on, mind you. I walked into the aisle, put my stuff in the basket, and then walked back out the aisle. So now I walked in with stuff.
Walked out without nothing.
Right.
I want to see if he still didn't approach me or anything like that. So that was just me being like super petty, but that was my experience at Target. I feel hurt because I spend like so much. I think I spent like $200 in that visit, like just walking around in Target, you know.
Just because
I can't help it. I had to buy stuff. But yeah, I got profiled.
See, I can't do it. I can't just take just because trips to Target. We went to Target the other day. And pulled up in front. My fiance got out of the car. She was like, "You coming?" I said, "Nope. See you when you get back." So I know what's going to happen. We're going to get in here. We're not going to get nothing that was on your list. We're going to get everything else. Didn't do it. She came back out by herself. What did she do? She got only what was on the list. Boom. Right. See, because she ain't have me to push around. She knew I was waiting in the car. She was like, "You know what? I'm just going to go and come back. I don't want to deal with him." I was like, "Did you get everything?" She's like, "Why? You should have went. If you went, you would have known." I'll accept that. But guess what? Got the list. We love.
So let me get this straight. Both of you guys love Target that much.
I don't know the rich love. I love Target. Okay. Like,
I feel like Target has good deals. And that's why you got to stay away.
If you see me wearing something, more than likely I bought it from Target.
Word.
That's my spot.
I can't do. You spend too much in Target. You go to Target, you need dish liquid, toilet paper, and laundry detergent. And you come back with a table, a futon, dog food, a bed. You get everything that you don't need on that particular shopping trip. I just don't want
to
deal with it.
Yeah, funny enough, we never actually go to Target. We either...
No?
Yeah, we do our either Walmart, Costco, and HEB. Now, I think she does go to Target, but it's kind of like far and few between, you know.
Yeah. Costco would get more of my business, but their hours are crazy. Like, they just close.
They do have crazy hours, yeah,
like
no doubt.
Six, you know. I get off work, Costco's already closed.
Family oriented, I like it.
And then the other thing is their inventory is not consistent. Like if you see something at Costco, you got to buy it that trip. Because if you're like, oh, I'm going to get that next time I come.
Nope.
It's not going to be there.
True.
It'll be the greatest deal of all time, but it only lasts for like 5 days.
And everything in Costco is $10 a piece. I don't care what it is. So if you're getting 10 things, you're spending $100. If you get 5 things, you're probably close to spending $75 to $100. So just FYI, when I go to Costco, I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be a big ticket deal. It just is what it is.
It's good to know.
I can do Costco, though. But I think that's... I also had an issue with Spectrum and their customer service. Oh. But, you know, I'm not going
to... I try my damnedest not to deal with Spectrum. I try to do everything on the app. I just hate that because of their partnership, that's the only place, that's the only provider that I have in my area. Have to deal with them. I hate it.
I just want to say, because I started out in customer service. I started out telemarketing, and I hate it. It's the worst job of all time. I feel sorry for anybody that has to do it. But if you're going to do it, you know, just attempt to do it well. You know, attempt to take some pride in your work and not just read what's on the screen or, you know, like just try. Try to understand that somebody did not want to call you. I never want to call you.
Right.
If I'm calling you, it's already a bad day. It's already a bad day because I picked up the phone.
Right.
So just understand, I don't want to bother you. I don't want to have to talk to you, but I'm forced to. So, you know, if you could ease the situation, it'd be a win for both of us. And people stop outsourcing your customer services.
All right, but that was my rant. Mine was Tarjay. Tarjay pissed me off the other day, but I'm good with that. Nesh, you got anything?
So both of y'all rant about Target.
Man,
I love Target. It hurts me to do that because I love Target.
So, no, go ahead, please.
No, I was just going to say, I really didn't have anything that... I got stuff that pissed me off,
right.
But I'm going to let it ride right now. You know, I'm going through a little merger at work right now, so I'm going to leave it on the table. Until I find out what's going to happen on the back end.
Smart.
Then I'll get mad.
Smart.
But
nobody listens to this podcast.
Yeah, but you reminded me because we had that.
Don't say that.
You reminded me because I had that issue at Tarjay the other day. And when it finished, I told you about it. I told you the story when I came over here to record.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I was like, you bring it back up. Still a little pain in my soul. So I just had to get it on my chest, get the evil out of here.
Yes, I like this segment. It's really cool. So mine is driving. People don't know the laws behind driving.
Oh, God, no.
And I cannot stand people in the left lane going slow.
That's been
chilling.
That's been
if
my getting
chill,
evil out for 6 episodes.
Get to the far right. It burns my wife and I up. We just
right. So
can't take it.
I feel like annoying. You're a person that's been several places. Like you've been
to. Yes.
You've been to. So is this an Austin thing? Does Austin have a higher concentration of bad drivers than other places?
No. Okay. And this is gonna be cool. You're gonna like this. I cracked the code on traffic.
All right.
You wanna know what causes traffic?
Yes, sir.
People. And that's why it'll never get resolved. You could have a 20-lane highway.
Oh, I know. We go to Houston all the time. Houston got 8 lanes for that big stretch.
And it's
still crowded
traffic.
Yeah.
Just like people don't really understand that if you're in the left lane, you're supposed to be going faster than traffic.
Yeah.
It is a passing lane. It's not. I'm just chilling.
People get over there and they just slow down.
No, it's not. I just, oh,
you
man.
Can't get over there and park. You can't get over there and park. You got
to
go.
Nothing really works me up, honestly. Not a whole lot. I can't wait to talk about basketball, but just everyday life?
Yeah.
Come on, man. If you're not going fast, get out of the left lane. Just move.
I can't take it. Then I hate that I now have to make 2 lane changes, which is technically you're attacking my life right now. I don't know what you're going to do once I come over and I got to speed up twice and get in front of you. People are crazy.
Yeah, no doubt. So that's my only rant.
So let's go straight to it then. The playoffs. So I watched that game last night and I saw your tweet about them or your Facebook post about, you know, Boston stopped moving the ball in the second half. And I couldn't figure out at the end of that game if Kyrie and LeBron, you know, went off and took that game, or if Kyrie started going off and Boston lost hope. Like Boston, Kyrie crushed their spirit and they stopped believing they could win that game and they let it go. I can't decide whether the Cavs won that game or if Boston lost that game.
Good question, and I'm going to jump in and say I think it's a combination of both. You cannot. I'm a fan of the sport. I love it, and I cannot deny the talent that Kyrie brings to the game. He is probably one of the most consistent point guards at his level. It's just crazy to watch him play. But I feel like Boston handed it to him, and then let's say this: I feel like Boston left the door open.
Yeah.
I think they had him on the ropes, and the door pretty much closed quarter one, quarter two. And I realize halftime's got to come, and the basketball's a game of runs. You know, you're gonna have 8 to 10 point runs.
Yeah.
But I feel like they gave up, stopped moving the ball, and yeah, Kyrie gonna be Kyrie.
Yeah.
And eventually, LeBron's gonna be LeBron. But I feel like they came in the game with a lot of confidence, a lot of energy, and I thought their mindset was, hey, we can win. And so I think quarter one and two, they played like, we can win, and we beat you before, so you're not unbeatable.
Right.
But then the second half, they came and they started acting like they was brand new again. Like, here we are. What are we going to do? Let me just dribble the ball for a little while. I'm like, dude, it blows my... My wife gets mad at me because I yell, I curse, and she's like, honey, it's not that serious. Like, no, it is serious when you watch it and you can just see what they're doing. Like, what are you doing?
Because it makes no sense.
And you know what's at stake. Like, that's a... It's a 2-1 series. You win that game, it's 2-2, brand new series.
You win that game, you put something on LeBron's mind to think about. You really do.
They're not the type of team that's going to come back from a deficit.
No.
Against the Cavs.
No.
It's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, your best players out. Yeah, they are the Cavs.
Yeah. But that's my point. If you're already mentally defeated and you're just here. Imagine what they're on right now.
Bingo.
But they had everything for you. You're up double digits at halftime, and LeBron has four fouls.
I was mad.
LeBron has four fouls. You can keep him on the bench for practically the rest of the game if you want to. And I don't know what happened.
I was hot. I'm not going to lie.
They gave up.
All right. So, again, I think foregone conclusion is Golden State, Cleveland in the finals. Golden State.
I'm going Golden State in six.
Oh, okay.
Only because I think, you know, Cleveland's going to win too. But I honestly, the way Golden State's playing, I wouldn't be surprised if they swept Cleveland, because Cleveland we saw last night is not even in competition with the Golden State.
Yeah.
But I think the problem, the way Golden State's going to leave the door open is even against a wounded team like San Antonio, they turn the ball over way too much.
True.
And you can't, give ball LeBron over way too and Kyrie.
And they do get cocky sometimes, and they're going to have to rein it in. LaFlop is going to do everything he can to take this from Golden State.
I'm waiting for him to hurt himself flopping. Like, it feels like the way he just falls out, like, one of these days, he's going to hurt himself flopping. He's going
to,
like...
LaFlop is going to go head-to-head with Draymond, and Draymond needs to keep his cool, because...
I need Draymond to take one more nut shot. I need him to kick him one more good time.
We know what happened last year, and we know how Golden State plays... With him on the court versus him off of the court.
But they got KD now, though.
Yeah, I mean, but...
Different element.
It's a different element, and KD is... He's something... He's a force to be reckoned with, but at the same time, the chemistry with Draymond, he shuts people down.
Yeah, he's definitely the Bill Laimbeer of his time.
I wish he was more... I'm not saying that he's bad offensively, because he's not. I just wish he was as strong offensively as he was defensively.
Right. I think he is. He don't have to. He just doesn't have to be.
Yeah.
On that team, he don't have to be. He can get hot from the 3-point line.
Well,
his mid-range game maybe need a little work, but he can dribble drive, you know.
He's not a one-on-one player, and in the offense they run, you're right. He is offensive enough for their team, but he's not a shot maker, playmaker.
I look at some of the other guys on the team, like he's a better offensive player than a Matt Barnes.
Yeah.
He's right up there. I think he and David West neck and neck.
Nah, I'll take David West.
See what
we're talking about scoring.
David West got the better mid range game.
True. Like I said, if you're talking about all around player, defensive and scoring, I'll definitely take Draymond.
What they're gonna need is everyone firing on all pistons. Period. They always get these spurts where it's like one or two players might be hot, but then this other guy's like falling behind. Everybody's going to need to perform. It's like last year, even the bench was out there scoring. Like they're going to need
the bench went hard.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. They're going to need this all throughout the Cavs. Gonna need it.
They changed the bench, and it's not. I don't think it's as deep as it was last year. No. Yeah. So.
And you really don't see that a lot too. Like their bench was bananas. You really don't see that a lot.
The bench in the playoffs outscored last year. Yeah. Outscored the first team. Funny though, I want to ask a question because I've been thinking about it. I want to get your guys' opinion. We tease and we talk about LaFlop. and there's a little hate towards him. I don't probably not a whole lot, but just think about this. He's a for an African American that's been in the league as long as he has and done what he's done. He's actually done it the way we want to see him do it, but for some reason we still really don't like him. Why do you think that is?
He's got so yeah. I agree. He's done it the way we want to see him do it in terms of like. You know, just the way he
carried himself.
Yeah, no off the court mm-hmm. scandals, no True. Issues. Mm-hmm. He's never been involved in with the law. He's not beating women or anything like that. But I don't remember a player his caliber whining as much. The NBA I grew up with, I came in right in on the end of that. You know, that Pistons team,
hard hitting. You know,
I remember. And like that's why I'm saying when Isaiah Thomas went out with the hip injury, I'm just like, the other Isaiah, like I don't know if there's an injury that could have kept him out.
Yeah, we
that
just series. Had this conversation and see, I think that's part of the thing that bothers me. For as big as LeBron is, for as imposing as LeBron is, mm-hmm. for athletic as LeBron is, like he's a perfect specimen for all intents and purposes as basketball goes, mm-hmm. he's perfect.
That's but he doesn't have that.
But he complains.
He complains. He doesn't have that killer.
Yeah, as much as he has, why are you complaining? You easily overshadow everyone. Why are you flopping?
Why are you looking at the refs? Like, take it into your own hand. Don't look at the ref. The ref can't save you.
So you want him to have the play mentality like Kawhi Leonard?
Like Kobe. I don't remember Kobe. He didn't whine
as much, but he did look at refs and he did... Yeah.
You know, I think eventually Kobe said, all right, you're not going to give me the call?
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
I don't think LeBron is Kobe. Kobe is, you know, Kobe. Black Mamba is Black Mamba. Yeah. It's like Michael Jordan.
So, one-on-one, just for fun. Kobe, LeBron. Who you think got it?
LeBron.
Kobe.
I think Kobe. You know why I think Kobe? Kobe has a killer instinct. Kobe is the type of player, doesn't matter what it is, he will find a way to beat you.
I got
he
two will words. Find a way. Describe Kobe. Honey badger. Real talk.
Yeah.
On the court.
I guess that's why people don't like him. Because as much as I didn't like Jordan, to me, Jordan was still one of those players where if you got a cheap shot in on him, he might look at the ref. Yeah. He might look at the ref and be like,
honey badger,
you know, what's going on? But in the back of his mind, he's thinking,
I got you.
I'm going to see you next time we go down there.
Mm-hmm. And he's done it plenty of time. Petty on the court.
Yeah, and LeBron don't have that.
But Jordan also has some of the best court vision that I've ever seen. He knows where every person is, both teams at all times. Kobe had the same thing. Not pushing.
Please
not,
don't get me started on Michael Jordan. I don't want to do it.
He
today.
Doesn't like Michael Jordan.
I love Michael Jordan. Did you see the move though? The little flop did the carry, the double dribble. I mean, come on.
All the time, and he gets it. I don't understand it. I feel like for as great of a player as LeBron is. He shouldn't be looking for shortcuts.
No.
He shouldn't be trying to take the cheap way
out. When you hear Shaq talk, like Shaq barbecue chicken, like if he saw you in the paint, that's what he's thinking. LeBron seems to be like, I could put a move on you or I could, you know. Like, not you, LeBron, as big as you are, everybody on the court should be barbecue chicken. And you shouldn't care about no mm-hmm. referee, no nothing.
True.
You can't stop me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was Jordan's mm-hmm. mentality. I think that was Kobe's mentality. That was Shaq's mentality. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't think he's in. And I don't think as good as he is. I don't think LeBron is playing to his full potential. I think he's resting on his laurels a bit. I think he's just okay with just getting a bunch of gimmies, and he's not going as hard as he should be. And I don't think personally he's playing the caliber of teams historically that a lot of the great players have played. That's a whole other conversation. We ain't got to go there right now. I'm just saying.
That made me think of something. So, do you think this could be the case? Because I'm not putting myself as the LeBron of anything, but I feel like I do this sometimes where it is uncomfortable to be around people and people look at you. For me, it's uncomfortable for me to be around people and people look at me as so much above them, like, you know, on whatever it is. And I see that sometimes I'm hanging out with people where I'm at different levels mm-hmm. than they are, or, you know, I think differently. And I don't like I don't like being in the room and feeling like, you know, everybody's looking at you like you sitting on a pedestal or something. So I downplay myself to make me more comfortable. Do you think LeBron knows he could dominate whenever he wants to? And because of that, like, he would rather, like, walk amongst the men and not be a god or something. Like, that's how I feel sometimes.
See, I don't feel like LeBron is that deep. I feel like, personally, he may feel like he may be the best player on the planet. I feel like, in his head, he may feel like he can take anyone at any given moment. But then I also feel like when that moment comes, he doesn't back down because he feels like, I'm going to give them a gimme. I don't got to prove it to them. I feel like he wants to take the easier route. He wants to preserve himself to last a little bit longer.
Hey, yo, you signed a $1 billion Nike deal. Preserve yourself. What? Like, just retire, dog. Just give up. Like, I don't.
So just in case you ever listen to this podcast, I think you're a good player, LeBron. I think you're one of the greatest. And what we were discussing was, I wonder why we're so hard on you.
Yeah.
Real talk. My mom loves LeBron. I'm rooting for Golden State. I don't hate LeBron. I do have some ways I think about him. I think you kind of mentioned the way he carries himself in terms on the court and kind of crying and looking for calls. Yeah. Head and shoulders above most of the players he's around. So it feels like he should just have a Kawhi Leonard kind of mentality.
Yeah, do it.
Like, yeah, bingo. Just do it. Like, just do it. And he to me doesn't have a killer instinct.
Now, he doesn't, and that's what gets me.
He'll get going and get hot, and he might score 23, but he doesn't have a put you away Jordan.
He doesn't.
Or Kobe, he just doesn't have it, in my opinion.
And that's why I said, for as imposing as he is, he doesn't have that killer instinct, that mentality. But you got people like Kawhi Leonard, who's a fraction of his size. He will go after everybody on the court. Doesn't matter. He's going.
But shout out LeBron.
Killer instinct. All right, so Jared's,
can I borrow a dollar?
Jared's comment actually brings us into one of the topics that we wanted to speak about anyway.
Cool.
So one of the topics is... let me go to it really quick. Now more than ever, we need positive role models. Do you see yourself as that? And I think it plays into sort of how you feel society sees you and how you feel right. You see yourself.
Yeah.
So I guess you first, Ness, what do you feel about that? Now more than ever, we need positive role models. Do you see yourself as that?
Yeah, good question, man. Wow. So I think I'm a positive role model because I have to be. Because I am my brother's keeper.
Mm-hmm.
It would, in this room, we're connected, whether we're just friends, whether we're all parents, whether we're all married, or whether we're all striving to be husbands, I think we're connected. So to me, just as a person, it's important for me to leave a lasting impression. And unfortunately, the way I'm wired, my DNA says that when I meet you, I leave a deposit of who I am. That's mm-hmm. just kind of who I am.
Yeah.
It took me years to figure that out. Like, why am I so connected with people? Like, when we all met, you probably thought, oh, not to sound modest, but you probably thought, oh, that was a cool or nice guy. And it wasn't fake. It was me being real. I think we mm-hmm. talked
because
I liked your look and your vibe. And then we talked because you were from D.C., so I just had questions about how you were getting along with Austin. And and so do I think, I think I'm a, I definitely am the role model in my home. And I think it's where it starts. Because if you're not, if you don't start there, then you don't have nothing.
All right, so I'm gonna keep it 100. I'm gonna keep it a buck.
Here we go.
I didn't like you at all, Sid.
That's cool.
It was just that employee boss relationship. Mm-hmm. Like mm-hmm. He's my boss. He's up there, and so I guess that like colored the way I viewed. I think you were being sincere,
right.
But in my mind, it's the regular boss. Schmooze, like, right. Trying to make friends so that we do what he tells us to do, And it's like, since I don't work for you anymore and we've hung, I'm like, he actually is a cool dude. Like, and I was really excited to have you on the show because I thought there is a lot that I kind of pull from you. So, because what I see is a person, and like I said, when we're talking about LeBron, like, a lot of times I feel like I dumb myself down or I try to dim my light because I'm uncomfortable with it,
mm-hmm.
And when I see you, it's like I'm Caesar. Like, I'm Caesar, and I'm here I am, and I can help you. And if you I want to help you,
mm-hmm.
All you got to do is reach out a hand, and I'll do it. But this is me, and so I'm trying to. And this podcast is taking me like a long way in that direction.
That's
like,
cool.
Like the fact that I get on here, and I say whatever it is I want to say.
That's good.
And like it shortens the amount of period, the amount of time it takes for me to feel like somebody knows who I am. Like it's like immediately when I tell somebody I have a podcast and here's where you can go find it, I feel like now they have access to all the crazy stuff that's mm-hmm. in my head that I normally don't tell people. So we've just broken down all those walls. Yeah. Now I can just be me because I can't hide now. You can go look and find it, you know. So yeah, I, and in terms of being a positive role model, I think that's an important thing. Like I just want to be as open and honest as possible, and people get all of it. And if you take some good from it, then great. If you don't, then you don't. But I feel like there's things that I need to say that people need to hear.
Yeah.
And so I'm just gonna say it all, and maybe some good to come out of it.
So I want to touch a little bit on what you both said, and then expand a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I personally didn't have an issue with you mm-hmm. when you first met. I thought that was funny, by the way. But so, and the reason why I didn't feel away.
Don't play safe, Rich.
No, I'm not gonna play safe. I've been down that road. This podcast has corrupted me. So, but now, so seriously, when I first met you, I did think that was a cool dude, and mm-hmm. I did think that you were coming off as really genuine. Mm-hmm. It's like when I met you, you were 100% real. You were 100% flan, and you were real with me with everything you told me. So I appreciate that from both of you. But I also felt like there was a genuine connection because you didn't interview me and just having plain IT talk. It was like mm-hmm. trying to actually get to know the person. Because at the end of the day, when you're filling roles like IT jobs, you know, someone is always going to have the knowledge. And if they don't have it, it's easy to learn.
Absolutely.
What you can't create is a person. What you can't fake is that passion. Person's background, that person's passion, who they are on the inside, and how they're going to relate towards other people. You can't put a person in customer service who can't deal with customer service. It's just not going to happen. And we related on several different things, whether it was the fashion. A lot of us, we have quite a few pairs of the same shoes at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen your Facebook and your stuff like that. So got a big sock game. Jared hates the socks. I don't know why, but I got a big sock game. So my fiance's heavily into fashion, so I tend to be heavily into fashion.
Okay.
So I like things like that. So we connected genuinely on a different level, and then we were able to sort of bridge the professional at a later date. But having that genuine connection up front is what always helps. So historically in my life, I've always been the person that's been liked by a fair amount of people. Like I don't have many people who dislike or hate me.
Right.
And it's because I try to be genuine with everyone. And I'm not purposely trying to be liked, but at the same time, I'm purposely trying to tell you exactly who I am. I'm trying to be honest. I'm trying to be real. And I'm trying to get you to see who Richard is. And mm-hmm. that goes into what you're saying. Like, when you walk away, you're leaving a little piece of you behind mm-hmm. with each and every person that you interact with. So is what I'm leaving behind going to be good or bad?
Right. And Rich, take everything with you when you leave here.
and you know what I mean? How are people viewing me?
Right.
You know, and it wasn't until maybe the latter part of my life, maybe like 26, 27, when you know, finally think about family and you're settling down and you're starting to think like, wow, you know, things I do will echo into eternity. And sure. the image that I place and this mark that I place on the world and people around me, you know, this is how people are going to view you. And it's hard to change those perceptions.
Yeah.
So I feel like you then you have a duty to be righteous in the things that you do and always try to be your best self and present yourself in your best light. And I'm not saying fake who you are. I'm saying to present yourself in your best light, you have to be your best self. Like that has to be genuine. With that said, I've never thought that I was a role model.
Yeah.
Never thought that way in a million years. I just like Jared, I put myself down because I just never felt like I was this, I was that. And I've always made light of my accomplishments. And this year, like I speak to my grandmother, I speak to friends, I speak to a lot of family members, and they say, you know, you don't know how proud we are of you. You did this, so this person is doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You did that, so that person is doing that. And, you know, it sort of helped them to steer the direction that they're going in because they see that somebody else is doing it from the same neighborhoods, from the same background, from the same family, from the same circle of friends. And it's like, well, if you can do it, why can't I? And, you know, it subconsciously lights a spark in other people. And you never notice, you know, how you're touching another person, how you're inspiring another person. So that's lately made me stop to reflect and sort of, you know, say congratulations to myself and pat myself on the back and try to see where do I go from here. You know, I don't want to rest on my laurels. I want to grow for myself, but I also want my family and friends to see that you can continue to grow.
Right. So one, you're not going to get off the hook.
Okay.
I'm a studier of people. I like people. I really do. I love people. It took me a while to just understand that I have a genuine love and a passion for people. And I'm going to assume that in your past, Flan, we're talking to you about the I hated you thing, which is cool. I'm not offended by that at all.
It's me being 100%. I got to be honest.
Please. I'm going to say in your past, somebody or a set of somebodies mistreated you somehow or made you feel a certain way. Otherwise, you wouldn't have had that kind of connotation coming in to meet me and so on and so forth. But the good news is you found your way through it. And then I think the whole, when you say role model, you know, I wouldn't put that in my pants or my pocket, my backpack and say, hey, I'm a role model. I think it comes along with age and wisdom when you understand that, hey, someone else is watching me do mm-hmm. what I do, whether it's bad or good.
Yeah.
The good news is when it's good, it has a positive influence. And like you said, I think your grandmother or somebody made a mention that you're doing something now and now so-and-so is doing it. So I wouldn't, you know, someone come off the street and say, hey, man, you're a role model. I'd say, no, I'm just Caesar. You know, if you take away something good or benefit mm-hmm. from something I've said, you know, that's awesome. You know, praise God for that. But so when you start using labels, I think it could confuse people. And because mm-hmm. I don't want to walk around and make anyone feel like I'm more than.
Exactly.
I don't mind being myself, and I don't mind having integrity. Which is what I think I have, but I don't want to be put in a certain bucket, just wear this label that says role model. I want my actions to speak for themselves.
Yeah.
And so when you ask that question, I think okay, I'll accept that, but I don't wake up in the morning thinking, hey, I'm a role model, so I gotta be good, I gotta be righteous.
And I think that's the thing about it. You can't set out to be a role model. You know, it's a difference between who you are and what you are. And staying true to who you are, your values, your virtues, by way of that, you become a role model. It's not something you don't wake up and say, oh, you know what, I'm going to be a role model. But you're living your life in a way that somebody can say, you know what, I can model myself after that person's example, grow from that, make it my own, and become a better person because of it.
And I think that's good. That to me, that's what I've done. You know, I've seen things I wanted and people I liked and gravitated towards them and say, hey man, how'd you do what you do? Kind of thing.
Yeah, and I don't wake up in the morning and say I'm a role model. But when I look back at like who I am today versus who I was and I see someone that's similar. Like I look at my nephew and I present myself to him as a role model because I want him to see you're going through the same stuff I did. And you can get through it faster. I can help you find that thing, you know, that you're missing. I can help you figure out why, you know,
these interactions. Use my knowledge, like use me.
Right.
Like,
I can help you. I understand what you're going through, and I don't want you to be 35 still going through it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can talk, if you can listen to me, if I can be a role model for you, I can help you make these leaps, you know, to make you a happier person. You know, I'm not trying to make you a better person. I'm trying to make you a happier person. And when you're a happier person, you'll be a better person.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get some of this off your chest. And so I see a lot of people. I see a lot of me in other people. And if I can help you with that little piece, you know, like I'm really liking who I'm becoming now. So if I, you know, if I have a chance, you know, to help someone else like themselves or like, you
That's
know,
good.
Like life a little bit more, I want to do it. So I do think sometimes I have to I have to proactively, instead of going places and like, you know, and dimming my light, I gotta shine as bright as I possibly can,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that person can see.
Let your light shine.
You know.
And that touches on something that we spoke about earlier when we were talking about our religion. You know, I feel like a lot of the times it's necessary for you to tell your testimony because people need to know where you're coming from. They need to know that you may have a similar background,
right.
And that you the shoes that you've walked in, like they need to know your story so that you know, they might share something similar.
Well, the word is credibility.
Yes.
That's the currency when you're talking to mm-hmm. somebody that's going through something. The currency is credibility, and you gain that when you say, "Oh man, I've been through that," and let me walk you through my story or my scenario mm-hmm. or how I got through it. And the other piece is, don't beat yourself about that, because the ownership lies on the person that's in whatever they're in. You can be an example. You can lend your testimony. You can certainly build credibility. But if the ownership on their end doesn't say, "I want a better way," or "I want to do things differently," then there's not a whole lot you can do except, you know, pray for that individual. But credibility is the currency that you reach people with when you say, "Hey, I was on drugs," or "I used to be a womanizer. Now I'm married and my wife is the best thing that ever happened to me." Things like that, which is what we need to hear. We need it. You absolutely yes. need that. Otherwise, I don't even take you seriously. If you've never been through anything, I can't really learn from
your
you.
Your words are falling on deaf ears.
I can't learn from you. That's just mm-hmm. me personally, right? If you've never had a whole lot and lost it, or, you know, not necessarily been divorced, but been through a marriage where you had some challenges, there's not a whole lot that I can do, you know, with you from that perspective.
I don't know yet. I think that's been a productive conversation. We got a lot more we want to talk to you about.
Get in it.
Yeah. All right, so
I want to go ahead. We're gonna pause this episode here. Call this part one of a conversation with Ness, mm-hmm. and then we're just gonna start right back up and go into part two. Work for everybody.
Yeah,
cool. We're not taking up too much of your time, or
no, I'm having a blast. So, yeah, let's do it.
All right.